Welcome to episode 338 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing has stayed the same, is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents Elizabeth, Donna, and George, and a special guest, Danny.
Yay!
Who's not new to our podcast.
Hard Travel! Yay! Internet
Danny from Hard Travel. I should say the YouTube sensation. For the past year, cruising has been stuck in dry dock, but we're beginning to see some light at the end of the tunnel. Tonight, we're bringing back a friend of the podcast to help bring clarity to the murky cruising situation. Danny DeNung with Har Travel is here to give us his expert insights on returning to cruising in 2021. So let's get started. So Danny, let's talk about what's going to be the first return to cruise? What is that looking like right now?
So the really exciting thing is cruising's happening.
I
had my first customer depart on an American river cruise on American Cruise Lines this last week. And they've got, I think, 6 ships running now. American Queen is back. Cruising didn't stop everywhere around the world. And if it did, it's back up in a lot of places. It's happening in Europe now. Just not for us, unfortunately. So if you're an American and you want to cruise right now, you've got those to choose from, the local cruises here in America. But the really exciting thing is, with the CDC essentially stopping cruising happening from the U.S., the cruise lines who are businesses and need to stay in business, they've made a lot of people incredibly excited, including a couple people here on the podcast today. And we're going to be cruising out of the Bahamas in June. There's several cruise lines that have basically made the decision of we're coming back and we're going to cruise not touching the United States. And, the first big ones, just to kind of review, Royal Caribbean, of course, is returning from Nassau in the Bahamas. We'll be on there on the 19th of June. So if you want to join Elizabeth and myself and a lot of fun people, come on down and join us. We'd love that. They're also returning to Bermuda on the Vision of the Seas and out of Cyprus on the Jewel of the Seas. So that's Royal's early rollout. What you'll know or hear is that you're not hearing a lot of their marquee ships, the Symphony of the Seas and the Odyssey of the Seas. Those ones, the Odyssey actually, very excitingly for those in Israel, is going to be cruising from Israel this summer. And if Israel opens up tourism to the U.S., this guy is going to be on there. So really excited for that, too. But their sister brand Celebrity is redeploying the Millennium from St. Martin. So we'll be on the very first cruise on the 5th of June. Once again, I wanted to be on the first one out. So we'll be there. They're also going to be cruising on their flagship. So that's a little bit different. Their flagship is going to be cruising out of Athens, and that's the Celebrity Apex. So she was delivered to Celebrity in March of last year and has never had a paying passenger on board. And so we're really excited. We'll be on board there in July. And that's not it. There's, other cruise lines are doing different things. Silver Seas is returning from Greece. We're also starting to see Crystal, which is one I'm really excited about. Crystal's got a 7-night opportunity out of Nassau in the Bahamas or Bimini, depending on where you want to pick it up. They also have a wonderful 10-day opportunity out of Antigua in the Caribbean. And one that I'm even more excited about is the Crystal Endeavor, the brand new, the most spacious, the most expensive, incredible, however you want to say it, expedition ship ever built, is going to be sailing from Iceland starting this summer. And believe it or not, they sold out 50% of that space on the first day, and they're closing in on 80% sold out right now. So if you want to do that, go ahead and hurry up. Also, Viking, another one of those great ocean brands, they're sailing out of Iceland. And I looked for a customer the other day, and they only had 2 of their sailings with anything left on it. So it's been popular, and they're sailing out of Bermuda as well. One other one that I'd like to mention is not available to Americans, unfortunately, but a lot of the cruise lines are returning from the UK because the UK has now officially said that starting on the 17th of May that tourism can happen. And what you're seeing is Disney. I know you guys are good friends of Disney. For the first time ever, is going to have cruises that Americans can't go on. And they're going to be doing short sailings in the UK. Viking is introducing their newest ship from the UK. Princess is going to be sailing from the UK. The beautiful Anthem of the Seas from Royal will be sailing from the UK. But because the UK has basically said, we're here and we're ready for you, they're going to sail now. Now, one of the themes that I think is really important for everybody to know is in all of these places, all the cruises that I just mentioned will require vaccination for adults. There's a few exceptions, Royal Caribbean and Celebrity for those under 18. You'll be okay with a negative COVID test. But for all the other locations, if you're an adult, you must be vaccinated. I'm hearing a lot of positive feedback from our customers. Of course, there's some people that can't or won't get vaccinated, and I totally respect that. But for me, the idea of cruising, you know, with my family, with every adult that's on board having both a test and a vaccine, and then having kids having tests, it feels like a different ballgame. And just as an alternative to that, our good friends at Norwegian Cruise Lines, who I know you guys sell a lot of, they've redeployed three ships as well. And the first one, the Joy, is going out of Montego Bay, Jamaica. Really excited for that. You can combine it with some of those Sandals resorts that we just toured there that are awesome. And I know several of your crew just got back from Jamaica as well.
Yep, we've got some upcoming episodes on those, actually.
I love it. Music to my ears. And then they're also going to be sailing out of Greece, and they're sailing out of the Dominican Republic. Now, an exception or a difference from Royal Caribbean is that's 100% mandated vaccines. So that means that if you've always been dreaming of, can I have a haven experience on this incredible ship with no kids, you know, this may be your dream come true. And so there's some really positive bits to this as well. But these are all redeployments. Essentially, they wiped out what they were doing initially, and they've redeployed their ship so that they can sail and start making some money.
Perfect. So you mentioned a few. Is there anything coming out around circumnavigating the UK that you know about? What are the regions? Italy, do you see any of that coming back?
So I was a little bit surprised. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. A little bit surprised when Royal Caribbean canceled the Odyssey out of Rome. But of course, the Israeli government gave them the thumbs up way in advance. And Italy will be opening to Americans here in the next couple of weeks. So what I think has happened is where we're seeing cruising right now, they're from the early adopter countries. So it's actually been Greece that's pushed the EU as hard as they possibly can for the return of tourism in general. And, you know, one interesting thing to talk about with that is that their strategy was actually to push those in the tourism business to the front of the line for COVID-19 vaccines. Because for them, in a country like that, that's so dependent on tourism, it's been a rough year. I mean, you guys all work in the travel business who are on with me, you know what a rough year it's been. The world's had a rough year as well. But what I believe will happen is, you know, like I said, they were early adopters. I believe that Italy is going to be back as a departure point. It's definitely back for European cruises. MSC just announced that they're going to launch with 10 ships in the next couple of weeks in Europe as well. In the UK, like I mentioned, you're starting to see P&O, who's a great local cruise line there. Saga Cruises, Princess once again. But for now, we're going to have to sit on the sidelines. Kind of like what I was mentioning with Israel. It may be that the UK opens up travel for Americans on the 1st of July. Let's just give a number. And nobody knows. That's just speculation. That could then say, hey, those great Disney cruises that we were excited about, now we can book them if there's anything left, or, you know, those other pieces. But what I think is it's going to be followed up with, okay, now here's maybe deployment that's already planned. Like Royal Caribbean has the Harmony of the Seas going out of Rome. That may stay there for one of those wonderful Roman cruises that you were talking about. Because in my mind, there's few places in the world better to start or finish a cruise than Italy.
You know, you talked about American river cruises, but what's your insight on European river cruises? That's obviously very popular among American tourists. What's sort of the forecast there?
Great question. So I think it's going to line up with the opening of these countries to American tourism. AMA Waterways, for example, who we adore, they cruised all season last season. They started up in late June and they went all the way through, but they only cruised with locals on board, similar to what we're talking about for that UK concept. Excuse me. But what we're hearing is they've wiped out through June. Some have wiped out into July. I think that there's going to be river cruises restarting in some way late July and then back up in August. But once again, until they give us the thumbs up for real, it's going to be speculation. But I think there's a huge trend for people wanting to go into smaller cruises. You know, for a lot of people, you know, a river cruise like AMA that holds 100 and averages going out at about 140 passengers, you know, they're going to have a little bit of reduced capacity. So you go out at 100 passengers on something that already has a phenomenal space ratio. For me, I keep getting asked these questions. I think the experience is going to be better. And I think the same thing for big cruises as well. You know, for Elizabeth and I are going to be on the Adventure of the Seas. The ship holds about 4,000 passengers normally. It's going to be restricted to about 2,000 passengers. We get to spend 2 days at Coco Cay. And in that, meaning the island normally holds 10,000 people, we're going to be on there with 2,000 people. And then, you know, some people don't get off. So we're going to be ziplining and, I'm going to be at Coco Beach Club eating lobster sandwiches
all day. 2 days. So you got 1 day at Coco Beach Club and 1 day ziplining.
That also means twice as many lobster sandwiches. That's yeah. You, me, we might have different. But going back to your original question, I mean, I really truly think that these expedition ships, you know, the ones that hold less people, and also one of the interesting things for Crystal, you know, they're only going out at like 80% to 90% because they already have phenomenal space ratios. So when you look at the recommendations of the CDC and some of the other ones, when they're talking about space per passenger, these luxury brands are already there. And so, you know, once again, I really, truly believe that everybody has to make the decision for themselves. Are they comfortable being vaccinated? Are they comfortable going on a cruise now? Because the other thing to keep in mind is we're talking about returning to cruise. A lot of people aren't ready yet. And 22 is selling insanely well. I've been struggling to find space on some river cruises. I had a Regent customer that reached out, and the entire ship for a 24-day cruise was sold out, you know, the 100% of it for 2023. So, you know, there's a lot of people that have, we've been talking about pent-up demand in the industry. You know, the pandemic affected different people differently. If you had your money invested in the stock market, you did pretty darn good during the pandemic. I wish I had money to put in the stock market right now, but, you know, that's a different
thing. Work in the travel industry. So.
I'm in the travel business. But also, you know, people, I have a lot of customers that budget, you know, a lot of retirees that budget every single year. I'm going to have X amount to spend on travel. That got shut down for a whole year, a year and a half. They have 125% credit and money sitting in the bank. These people are ready to go. And, you know, I think the pandemic's opened up our eyes to life short, and things that were guaranteed and promised yesterday are not tomorrow. And there's a lot of people that have also decided, let's YOLO it and let's get out here. And, you know, let's spend that money that we were saving for, you know, to redo the house, and let's go take that dream vacation, because what happens if we can't next year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that so much too recently, people asking for things that we've gotten used to being able to ask 6 months out to a year out. And it's just not going to be that way for a while again. I think it's going to be years before we see that again. And they're like, what do you mean everything's gone?
We don't want to go. Well, it's shocking, to be honest with you, because the sales cycles, you know, a year ago, I could predict the sales cycle of cruising pretty much to the T. I could tell you when, what's happening and how it's happening. Yeah. That's gone. I mean, it's gone for all of us. And frankly, it's gone for the cruise lines. I mean, they're at the behest of others, you know, government entities and such.
Speaking
as well.
Of government entities, it's the elephant in the room. Let's bring it back to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And what the heck is going on with the CDC, Danny?
The first thing that we found out was that the CDC can stop cruising from happening. You know, last March, nobody knew that. You know, initially we thought this is a good recommendation. Great. You know, awesome. You know, the hard part is that some of this has gotten political. I mean, there's no way around that, the fact that that it has. But, you know, the CDC has stopped cruising in October of last year, I think, which is about the time I came on the first time, somewhere around that range. About that time, they put out a conditional sailing order, and it was a brutal way for cruise lines to restart. I mean, basically every single possible thing that you can imagine for preventative measures is in there. But more than that, they haven't given clarification beyond it. And so, you know, it was really confusing to have the CDC come out and say, if you're vaccinated and you've been exposed, don't worry about it. You don't need to quarantine. If you're vaccinated and you're traveling and you come home, don't worry about it. You don't need to quarantine, but you shouldn't go on a cruise ship. And, you know, part of that is they want to get to the point where everything's perfect before the return happens. And, there's nothing that's perfect. No. And not only that, but, you know, I was quoted in a Travel Age West this last day or two. And, you know, basically what I was talking about was, I think it's obscene that they're using the same metrics before vaccines existed to now, you know, and that's a really tough thing. But the great news is that there's been movement. We saw Mr. Del Rio from Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings. He reached out pretty brutally and said, okay, we're going to call your bluff. Everybody's got to have a vaccine. Why can't we go? And then 10 days later, he sent another message and said, hey, knock, knock, knock. I sent you this message. Everybody's going to have a vaccine. Why can't we go? And, you know, the CDC, I don't know if they're receiving some of the pressures from different places, but the state of Florida sued them. The state of Alaska sued them because they basically, like me, said, you can't make an income. You can't support your family. And what, you know, is very short-sighted as well, too, is that it's not just the cruise lines. There's the people that work for the cruise lines. There's the people that work in the supply chain. There's the Uber drivers and the taxi drivers and the hoteliers in South Florida and Seattle and New York.
And the restaurants and the stores and the shops and everything. It's this giant ripple effect that's really impacted everybody.
Yeah. And it's been brutal, but we've seen movement and they basically said it's happening now. Things are going to, you know, continue forward in a positive fashion, which I think is fantastic. But what they're saying is that mid-July is not a no. It's something that could possibly happen. But what they are saying is that, you know, they're going to tweak the conditional sale order, but they're not going to get rid of it, which means that cruise lines are going to have to operate under that through the end of October or until something else changes. And it hasn't seemed that the CDC has been happy with being the ones who initiated the something else changes. So we're going to have to see, but if that's the case, there's going to be a lot of happy people on volunteer cruises. That may very well still happen. Royal Caribbean put out the request for volunteers, and they so far have 275,000 is the last number I heard. Once again, I say that again, 275,000 people that have said, put me on the cruise. I'll be your guinea pig. And I've also volunteered.
Their biggest ship holds how many passengers, Danny?
About 6,000 to 7,000 passengers with another 2,000 to 3,000 crew members. Yeah. But those are going to go out at 50%. And I was lucky enough to cruise on the Oasis of the Seas for a shakedown cruise as they came back out of dry dock. And I cruised on there with 2,500 passengers. That was the best cruise I've ever done in my entire life. You know, it's great. Less people is awesome.
Less people on a bigger ship is amazing. That sounds like heaven. Yeah. That sounds like heaven. So what...
10,000%.
So with that in mind, you know, if they have to meet these criteria, what do you think life will be like on these ships when we come back sailing from the US?
Great question. So, I mean, for the foreseeable future, masks are going to be worn where people cannot socially distance. That does not mean bars while you're drinking. It doesn't mean restaurants while you're eating. But if you take in a show, my best guess is there's going to be a quarter of the people that would normally be in there. They're going to double up the amount of shows that they do. This may even result in extra, you know, people in the entertainment business getting hired because, boy, if you talk about a business that's been, you know, from Broadway to everything else, it's been absolutely brutal. And I didn't know if you know this, but Royal Caribbean is actually the biggest employer of ice skaters. They employ more ice skaters than like Disney on Ice or the Ice Capades, because you think about every Voyager class ship forward has an ice skating rink and they do the full shows. Those people, you know, all of these people. In fact, there's a really great, I'd highly recommend that you and everybody else check that out. But NCL's put out a series called Embark, and you can go to their Facebook page and you can watch it. But the last episode was basically crew members telling their stories and telling the stories of what it's like to be out of business and out of work and, you know, not being able to have any employment that you have to look forward to and how it's impacted them. And so once again, just that trickle-down effect, I believe that testing is going to be in place for the foreseeable future, reduced capacity. And, you know, humans are gross. I've got a five-year-old and I love her to death, but she's gross. I mean, touches things and, you know, all of that. And so, you know, I'm not going to be sad being served at a buffet. You know, that's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to serve it and I'm not going to touch the same tongs that the guy before did. And I'm good with that. I have no problem with that. You know, there's going to be a lot of those tweaks and changes, you know, more hand sanitizers. But what's interesting is the cruise ships don't have to install nearly as much as, you know, a buffet in Vegas that didn't have sneeze guards before. You know, things that are that simple that we just dismiss on land, but for some reason we think are very important on the oceans. But, you know, there's going to be some tweaks and changes. But if you love the cruise, I think it's very much going to be a similar, if not better, experience.
I'm all in. I mean, the idea of so few people, and frankly, if it took a pandemic to get rid of buffets,
So be
so be
it. It's the silver lining of this whole dang thing is that there is no more
Well,
stranger
yeah.
touching. I don't want this piece of bread and putting it back.
Absolutely. Well, and think about my three big pain points in travel are boarding day, disembarkation day, and lifeboat drill, right? I got to stop drinking and I got to go do something. That's not fun.
Yeah. And now we have a virtual life. I forgot about that, Danny.
No, but think of, I mean, to me, you're going to board based on appointment. You're going to board later on in some cases than you would otherwise. So now I don't have to stand in that crazy line. I can go board when my time says to do it. Then when I get on board, all I've got to do is go by the lifeboat station at some point in the first day, and I show them my app and they click the button and that's it. And now I've met the life at sea expectations for that. I don't have to trip over my life vest going there. And more importantly, the bars are going to stay open. So there we go.
I was just gonna say, I always get caught with the drink and they won't let you take it in. So you always either have to chug your drink or set it down somewhere and lose it. And that's tragedy.
It's not good. No. But I mean, there's, sometimes necessity does solve problems. I mean, it really truly does. And I think this is that case.
The interesting thing is there are, I mean, cruise lines have done, they have implemented times for boarding and they've been largely ignored. Oh, I got a 1 o'clock time for boarding, but I need to be there at 10 because I need to get my maximum benefit from my buffet time or whatever. And I've always been the person, and these folks can attest to it because some of them were there when I was like, no, my boarding time for this Disney cruise ship is 1 o'clock. And I am completely okay with that. And I will not get there a minute before then because I will breeze right on. I will go straight to the restaurant. My room will be ready 10 minutes after I board. It's glorious. And people think, no, I gotta get that 2 hours is money that I've spent that I want. No, that's money that you're gonna sit in the port and then crowd on with 8 million other people. So if nothing else, it hopefully will teach people, no, this whole like broken up boarding system is actually beneficial to you as well as the cruise line.
And I think it's going to also improve like tendering. They're going to stick with, it's going to be digital now as we move forward, but you show up at this time. And if you don't, you go somewhere else for a bit. And I think there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle that, cruising has, it's just been brutal for the industry. I mean, there's no way around that. They borrowed billions and billions and billions of dollars. But, I've followed the Healthy Sail Panel. That's the collaboration between Royal Caribbean and Norwegian Cruise Lines. And it's led by Dr. Scott Gottlieb and Governor Leavitt. And they're both, from Health and Human Services and FDA in the past. And when you look at these recommendations, these are really good, insightful, science-driven ways to get cruising back. And in general, I think a lot of them are going to stick. And when they set out to do that, they also said, we want to give this advice for other things, for college dormitories and other facilities and things like that that could use these things. One other thing that I didn't mention earlier was all the cruise lines have, I know for sure Royal and Norwegian has, I haven't seen all the announcements from everybody, but they've updated their HVAC system. So in your room, you're only getting fresh air from the outside that's gone through filtration. Whereas previously, like a hotel or anywhere else, you might share intakes from multiple rooms. That's a normal thing. And the filters are supposed to catch it. But now they're using higher level filtration on top of it. And they're also using, different kinds of electrostatic. I think that this is going to be the safest mode of transportation when you return. Because think of an airplane,
cleanest.
Think of a boat, a bus, something else where it hasn't been vetted and people haven't been tested. You don't know if they've had a vaccine. This is going to change the game.
Well, I mean, flying up on an airplane right now is the cleanest it's ever been. You actually can touch the tray table.
This is what do they say? This is the lowest flu season in recorded history.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we've even had any here. But yeah, the hotel rooms are the cleanest. And you kind of touched on one of the misconceptions that people have. And you hear people talk about their fear of cruising and, well, I would never, I don't want to breathe the same air that everybody else is. But the reality is what you just said, they're putting in these systems and these cleaning implementations that we're not even doing in our own homes.
Yeah. No.
We're not doing this at Costco. We're not, we're not doing this anywhere else. And so I know you touched on it here or there, but what do you have to say about this? Because I know that, it bleeds, it leads. If fear is a big, is a big a part of our of our world we live in right now. What do you say for that, that the fear of cruising right now?
What I would say is I've had the busiest booking month this month in 40 years of our business, and I've had four consecutive busiest months before that. I mean, to be honest with you, people who cruise understand. And interestingly enough, I mean, from our YouTube videos, it's been great. A lot of people who've never cruised before were afraid of it, and they watched it. I mean, I recommend, if you'd like to, you're welcome to watch our YouTube videos, the Hard Travel channel, and you can walk through every space on an entire cruise ship. And once you do that, think about it as, okay, now there's half the people. And now some of these things that you used to have to queue up for, now you've got an appointment and you don't have to wait in line for. And all of those things improve it. But what I know is that people who know, know. People that don't. From a fear standpoint, you know, the issue with cruising is that the same thing that happens on a cruise ship that's a negative publicity, right? It happens daily or weekly in Las Vegas or Miami. It's not that interesting. But when everybody's stuck together, you know, and then they're there for another couple of days or a week, what it does is it allows the ripple effect of, like, did you hear about this? And did you see that? And other pieces of the puzzle. But, you know, the big fear was instilled by what happened early on in the pandemic. But I hate to break it to you, but that happened in all kinds of settings. It tragically happened in nursing homes. It tragically happened in all kinds of, you know, in food processing plants. I mean, it wasn't unique. And the cruise lines, in a way, made the mistake of listening to the World Health Organization, who said, keep them together, keep them quarantined, and you're going to be fine. They were wrong, you know, but basing, you know, what's happening today on that, I mean, to me, that just, it's absurd. And to be frank, the last administration pushed to have cruising restarted, and I believe this administration put the brakes on it because they very much, like, you know, different administrations coming in and out, they tend to try to undo what the previous one did. And part of it, I think, is still a bit of that, because I believe if they're following the science, you can't say on one side of your mouth, you know, having a vaccine makes you safe, and then the other side, but in case you're on a ship. And it just doesn't work for me in that big picture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, making recommendations on something the way it was 6 months ago, that doesn't make sense to me either.
Yeah, it's really interesting if you go back and listen to sound bites from a year ago, and you're like, that's absurd. We know so much more, but that's what we were believing a year ago. What we were believing.
My last cruise was on February 23rd from New York City, which we all know COVID was in New York at that point. You know, and I dined in Times Square. We went on a cruise and had no mask on. I mean, that's what we did. And I got off, you know, I got home and went on another ship on March 1st, and we filmed it. And then we know what happened right after that. But, you know, we weren't given good guidance because nobody had it. There weren't COVID tests because they didn't exist. You know, they had to make that up. They had to figure that out. And what's crazy to think about is at that time, they had already solved the vaccine. We just didn't know it yet. You know, the vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, were designed in a day. You know, once it was mapped out by, you know, coming from China and other places where they figured out what it was, that was happening. And so if that started happening in February, why are we in the same place in April of 2021? I wish it was 22 in some ways, but 2021, when, you know, we're still trying to deal with advice and things from, you know, March or October of 2020.
Well, and it does seem odd as America is opening up, and, you know, some states have already opened up, other states are in the next month or so, and we're still sort of waiting for the CDC to say a ship can sail.
Well, and you know, there's the other political thing, just to mention it, because it could become a very big issue in the next couple months, is, you know, the cruise lines have basically said, if it takes vaccines to get restarted, let's do vaccines. But the number one state in the world, or the number one location in the world to cruise from, has said you can't mandate vaccines for any business. So, you know, that's going to be another thing that the cruise lines have to deal with, is what happens if the CDC comes back. It's like a catch 44. I mean, they're getting it on every single way they're getting it from. But they've backstopped this. They've put up the money. They've put up the research. They've gone to not the people that are going to say what they want, but to people who are going to say what science truly dictates. And, you know, I challenge anybody to go pick apart the findings of the Healthy Sail Panel and not believe that that's the best scientific research that money can buy and that we can do these days.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. Thank you so much, Danny, for joining us.
Round of applause.
We really, really love it. Every time you're here, it's wonderful, and I hope that you come back more often. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.